Okay, if you'll turn with me now to Matthew 6, we'll read our text this morning, beginning with verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now, more than even the profane sins of men, the Lord and His messengers deal more with the sin of self-righteousness. People who think that, or self-righteous practice of thinking that we somehow can commend ourselves by our doing. Self-righteous practice is the result of self-righteous doctrine. Now, in the chapter before this, the Lord dealt specifically with doctrine. Those of old time took the doctrine of God, and they brought the law of God down to a low, low level to make man imagine he could earn a righteousness by obeying the law. And it resulted in fleshly ambition. That's what corrupt doctrine always results in, is fleshly ambition. Ambition creates religious competition. Competition between self-righteous men and women. To achieve the goal, to get the reward, in this competition, you have to be the most esteemed by others. That in itself is the reward. To be the most highly esteemed by other men. That's the reward. Now, in order to be esteemed, others have to see what you do. If they're going to know that you're so good in your deed, they got to see them. And the ones who are truly successful in this world's religion are those who have mastered the disguise of false humility, so that they make others see what they're doing, but they appear like they don't want you to see what they're doing. Those are the true winners of this worldly competition. Now, in the last chapter, the Lord dealt with false doctrine. Now He deals with this practice of self-righteous ambition. And He uses three examples in this chapter: alms, prayer, and fasting. The point, the principle He's teaching applies to all three, and in fact applies to everything we do in religion. But tonight, or this morning, we're going to take just this thing of alms. And here's the principle: whatsoever you do, do not do it to be seen of men. Now, first thing here is He says, take heed that you do not your alms. What is alms? This is the act of providing for the poor. There's various translations. They have various words put here for alms. Some say charitable deeds, some say piety, some say good actions, some say kindness. But alms is translated from a root word that agrees with the context of how sinners are saved. And the word is eleios, it's mercy. That's what it means. In fact, it's mercy put into action. That's how sinners are saved. The Pharisees called this act of almsgiving righteousness. And indeed, it is right to provide for the poor. And it is not right not to provide for the poor. We read of the mammon of unrighteousness. It's not goods that are gotten in an unright way. It's deeds that it's goods that are gotten and kept from the poor. That's what's unrighteous about it. Our God deals in mercy. Here's what Titus 3:5 says. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. We didn't give to God. We didn't do something for God. But according to His mercy. Same word. According to His mercy. Not righteous acts by us. By God's mercy. By God's giving to desperately poor sinners. Sinners too poor for a garment of righteousness. He robed in the righteousness of His Son. Sinners too poor for bread, who He gave the bread from heaven, His Son. Sinners too poor to have a house to dwell in. And He's given us a dwelling place in His Son, eternally. He made us kings and priests under our God. So the Lord warns the believer here, first of all, of what we should never do. Here's the first thing. This is what we should never do. Verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, if what you do is done for the purpose of gaining the applause of men. What I do is done for the purpose of gaining the praise of men. For the purpose of building up a good name for myself. It's for the glory of self, and it's not for the glory of God. Now, the heart we have by nature wants nothing but self to be glorified. That's all we want by nature, is for ourselves to be glorified. If you don't believe it, just the next time you see somebody that's down and sad and just looks like they're on their lowest limb, go up and start bragging on them. Go up and tell them how good they are. And you'll see how quickly all our sorrows disappear if we're just exalted a little bit. We like to be exalted. We like to be lifted up. That's what we want by nature. So this is something that the self-righteous, this is natural to the self-righteous man, to the religious man in this world's religion. It's what he thinks religion is to be seen of others. I had two fellas come into the house one time when we were at Thompson Station. These little four little Mormon boys came over there and they said, you know how when you give to somebody, and that just that good feeling you get because you've done that and how you've given to them? That's righteousness. No, that's not righteousness. To feel good, to be proud, to walk around as if we've done something. The grace of God is that we're nothing. It's humility. It's a contrite spirit that's where grace is reigning. Not that spirit of pride where to be seen. But it says here, otherwise you have no reward of your Father. If a person performs acts of mercy, or a whole assembly, we all together perform an act of mercy, and we haven't done it by the power of God's grace, from the beginning, we're going to be operating from a view of glorying in self. That's what we'll be doing. And when that's our motive, from the very beginning, it's not a good work. It's not a work God will regard. A good work's done by the power of God's free grace. He works it in us. And it's done for two things. For the glory of God. We want His name to be honored. We want Him to be glorified. And it's for the good of His brethren. Those that He laid down His life for. But when it's performed to be seen of men, and men praise you for it, the flesh gets so puffed up because of it, that we can't see anything but self. Self's all we saw going into it. We thought about it before we ever did it. You know, if I do this, this is going to be a good thing. This is going to really help them out. And we do it. We go about making sure somebody sees us do it. And then we hear that praise because we did it. And now we're puffed up to where we just see more of ourselves. So all that was involved was self, self, and self. We saw ourselves in the beginning. We saw ourselves doing it. We heard ourselves praised, and we puffed up in ourselves and see ourselves. And if that's the case, brethren, we have no reward of our Father in heaven. Therefore, verse 2, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's the reward. The reward is the praise of men. It's all self-wanted. It's all self-gets. God is very, very generous to give us exactly what we want. And that's what He does. He gives us exactly what we want. Before grace comes, we want self to be exalted. He'll give it to us. But when grace comes, He makes us willing that we want to see Christ. And He gives it to us. That's what He gives us. Next, the Lord tells the believer what we should do. Verse 3. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Keep your almsgiving a private matter between you and God. If you could perform an act of mercy in such secrecy that your own left hand didn't know what your own right hand had done, that would be utmost secrecy, wouldn't it? That's the utmost secrecy that the Lord is exhorting us to. He's teaching us, you don't even think on it. You don't even dwell on it. The heart's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. The old fleshly nature is desperately wicked. The more we dwell on it, the sooner we'll be puffed up in pride about it. So it's done in such secrecy that not only do you not know about it, our brethren not know about it, but I myself don't dwell on it. Move on. Move past it. The Father seeth in secret. Just because no one else sees it, nobody else knows it's performed, God sees it. God knows the heart. He looks on the heart. He put the grace there for you to perform it. He knows the amount you've given because He put that in your hand. He knows the deed because He gave you the grace to do it. He knows. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. What's the reward? The reward is the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace which God gives so that a believer willingly acts in mercy to the needy is grace that's given in Christ, by Christ, to the praise of Christ. The way it works is like this. God gives a believer grace to give. And the grace to behold, we behold in the act of providing for the needy. He gives us grace to behold in that act what He's done for us. And He gives others grace to behold what He's done for them and for us. And when He does that, then we don't glory in ourselves, but we glory in His unspeakable gift, Christ Jesus the Lord. So, in other words, He gives us grace to have it, grace to do it, and more grace to see Christ and what Christ did for us. And that's the reward. That's the reward the believer longs for. That's the reward the believer wants. Now, look at Psalm 112. I quoted this to you Thursday night, but I want you to turn to both these scriptures with me. Psalm 112. I'd encourage you to read this whole psalm sometime. And when you read it, remember that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who this is speaking of. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the man that feareth the Lord. He's the man that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Look down here in verse 9. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. When you read about mercy, when you read about the Lord saying, commanding through Isaiah, as we've seen in the book of Isaiah, for the people to do righteousness, you hear Him so often define that. And He says, take the oppressive yoke off of the people. Give to the poor. Provide for the needy. Be dealing mercy towards others. This is what He's talking about. He, Christ Jesus the Lord, hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. This is what our God has done. Are you poor? Spiritually, were you poor? Destitute. We didn't have anything. Depraved of any goodness. And He dispersed to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His righteousness. His giving. That which He's given endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. He will be exalted with honor. But when He came to do this, you know what the Scripture says about Him? He made Himself of no reputation. He didn't do what He did to be seen of men. He came and did what He did because they were poor and needy, because they had nothing. Now, turn over with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to show you here this open reward. This open reward. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now watch this, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward ye, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things. You've got something to give. But more than that, you got a heart to give. That you may abound every good work. Now read it again without the parentheses in there. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye may abound to every good work. Now, here's the parentheses, and here's what we just read. How is it that He's able to do that? As it is written, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now, He that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. In other words, if He's given you all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus and has made you accepted in Christ Jesus, has justified you in the Beloved, made you holy and without blame before Him, He said, how shall He not with Him freely give you all things? Because He's dispersed. And the same one that's done the dispersing in spiritual matters does the dispersing in temporal matters. And He says, therefore, by His grace, He's able to make you abound in all things that you may abound in this thing. Look, verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Now, here's the reward. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints. It does that. It supplies the need of poor, of the needy. But is abundant. It results in many thanking God. Whilst by the experiments of this ministration, by your service in doing this, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. They don't glorify you, they glorify God. Who dispersed? He did. Who gave to the poor? He did. Who was the poor? We were. He gave everything. Who needed everything? We did. And that's why we had the grace to do it. And so when it's given, those to whom it's given, who do they glorify? The one that dispersed. And for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. And Paul ends there with, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Christ Jesus, His Son, who came and dispersed to these poor, whose righteousness remains forever, in whose righteousness we've been made rich beyond measure. That's the unspeakable gift. And also that through this grace, He's given us hearts to love Him and to have a desire to do that which honors Him. That's an unspeakable gift. In the unspeakable gift, from the unspeakable gift, Christ Jesus. So we glory not in ourselves, but in Him who did these things. And those to whom the gift is given. Now, somebody knows that gift was given. If they're going to pray for you and thank God for you, there's a big difference between somebody knowing that we as a family here did something for them and that they know I individually did it. That genders towards me poking out the chest a little bit. But we as a family that did it, together did it, helped somebody. They thank you. That's what happened. It was the church at Macedonia and Achaia that had done this for the poor saints at Jerusalem. But then in Luke 14:4, he says, and thou shalt be blessed, for they, the poor, they can't recompense thee. They can't pay you back. But thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So does that mean that when the Lord resurrects me, that then He's going to give me something, a great reward then, and so that I'll have something that somebody else don't have? If you had that in heaven, what would be the purpose of it? To say, look what I got and you didn't get? Look what I earned that you didn't earn? Wouldn't that just be more selfish ambition? That's not... You know what he said right after that in Luke? That's the passage where somebody said, blessed is he that eats bread in the kingdom of heaven. And then he gave that parable. And he said, it's not blessed he that eats bread in the kingdom of heaven. The blessing is, you'll sit down at my table and I'll do the serving, he said. That's the reward. We have our Redeemer. We have this one who came and dispersed to us and gave to us. We have Him. That's the reward. And that's the reward the believer longs for. Therefore, we don't have to do things to be seen of men. You remember this right here. Men who want to be seen do not want to be with God. They want to be God. The believer's reward is God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's the difference. That's all the difference. All right.